Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Lisa Mullins.
Well, Governor Charlie Baker announced today that he's giving a special panel 30 days to come up with recommendations to fix the MBTA's finances and operations. And for good reason, because in the past couple of weeks, we've heard a lot about the T's failings, about bad management and political pitfalls. We've heard about maintenance backlogs, old rolling stock and poor service, about a system, essentially, that already can't meet demand, even as we demand that it be expanded. Basically, we've talked a lot about everything that's wrong with the MBTA. And as a regular T writer, I'm with you. There is a lot to legitimately complain about. But believe it or not, I also think it's time to just take a second to talk about at least one thing that works about the T. I want to take you to a fascinating place we visited last year, the MBTA's maintenance shop. The system's only subway repair facility, a 110,000 square foot warehouse in Everett. Any part, every part that breaks down on the T subway cars, whether it's a valve, a wheel, a brake, or an entire undercarriage, it's all sent here.
When you're standing on the platform, you're only seeing the shiny part. We handle the stuff underneath. The majority of our work is under the deck.
Edward Belanger is a maintenance supervisor for the MBTA's subway main repair facility. He's been there for about a decade and is responsible for overseeing the machine shop, sheet metal shop, and electronics room.
You have a lot of different trades under the same roof. It's very reminiscent of America when companies did everything themselves.
It's very, very skilled work as well.
Yes. People don't like it when the wheels come off.
We're standing next to a red line axle and wheel assembly when Ed says this. Worker Tony Masha is inspecting the axle for signs of cracks and bends.
The T is always recycled, but not for green reasons. The axle unit you're looking at with a resilient coupling is worth about $11,000.
Wow.
Some of these axles will actually run the entire life of the car without being replaced.
And the wheels that are placed on those axles, they're held on by nothing other than an extremely tight, pressed fit. That means no welding, no lugs screwed in like on your car, just an ultra-precise press fit.
The hole has to be 2.5 thousandths smaller than the axle.
So just about the width of a human hair.
Just about the width of a human hair. So if John misses it, either way, we can't use the wheel.
John is John O'Donnell, the man whom, on this day, bores the hole to get that red line wheel on the axle. Now, you heard Ed. When John's done boring the hole, you're not supposed to be able to slide anything thicker than a human hair between the wheel and the axle. So, you'd think they'd use some kind of laser-guided, computer-aided machine, right? Well, no. With great care and skill, John O'Donnell achieves that ultra-tight press fit using an almost 80-year-old mechanical boring machine that's been there since the T moved into the Everett building.
And you do that here with this
machine?
Right there.
And we don't throw a lot of wheels away because John's good.
So good that the wheels stay on until the maintenance crew needs to take them off. It's no easy task. It requires another special and old machine, one purpose-built to separate wheel from axle.
Steve and Mike are going to press off a number three wheel.
What does pressing off a wheel mean?
They're removing the wheel from the axle so we can put a new one on.
Okay.
And brace yourself. You're about to hear what 170,000 pounds of pressure sounds like.
It's actually slipping as it's being pressed.
Wow. Why was it so loud?
Because that's what the force it takes to hold one on.
Oh my goodness.
When you think of the diameter of a human hair, you don't realize how powerful it can be.
True. That's amazing. That was loud. Oh my gosh.
And with that precision, the crew makes sure that the wheels stay on the red line as it rumbles over the tracks. They also make sure that the train stays steady, even as thousands of riders board and alight, changing the weight distribution on each carriage throughout the commute. All that's done, basically, with some valves and an airbag. Here's Mark Craven, the foreman in charge of the air pressure section of the facility. He's been with the T for 24 years.
Get on a subway car, you step on that car, and that car is even with the platform. Now, as the car, more people get on the car or get off the car, that wants to move.
Up and down.
Up and down. So,
right.
But we have leveling valves that adjust that automatically, so that when you're stepping on that car, if it's an empty car, you're not tripping over the door. And if it's a full car, you're not stepping into a hole in there.
Think about it. When you get on the train in the morning, you and many other people cram onto the train. With that extra weight, the car doesn't sag down, even for a moment. It stays level on the platform. And it stays level at the next stop when more people board. And at stations like Park Street, where many people get on and off the train, the car stays level even there. All because of a valve. It's just another example of the thousands of tiny parts that make up the entire system. And almost all of this maintenance work is done in-house. Ed points out what's called a gear unit, basically the guts of the train, the transmission, the axles, bearings, and wheels.
It actually kind of symbolizes the building itself because the pallet was made in our wood shop. The gear unit was rebuilt in the wheel shop. Components of it came out of the machine shop. And the bearings and the bearing housings were actually worked on over in our welding or blacksmith's area.
Part of the reason they do everything in-house, even crafting things like replacement door hinges and really simple things like washers, all from scratch, is because many of the trains are so old they can't buy the parts anywhere.
We're not a production shop, but we are. And we're not a prototype shop, but we are.
Okay.
Many of these pieces, like these pieces for the track brake, they were designed and manufactured here because nobody makes.
So here's one of the big lessons I learned on our visit. Ed and his employees, they're working on anything from Blue Line trains that are just a couple of years old to the Mattapan High Speed Line, whose rolling stock was built back in 1945. Many of the companies that first manufactured those trains don't even exist anymore. Therefore, the T's machinists are custom crafting individual replacement parts using unique and old tools. In other words, their skill really matters.
What's it like working here?
It's awesome. The ability to create has always been something I've been fascinated with, and this building has it all. It's literally encompasses almost every single trade you would need to fabricate anything.
It's such a unique job because, first of all, it's like, as we've seen so many skills already, so many different types of machinery and work, but you're also working for a public transit system.
Yes.
So you've essentially got, what, 1.1 million customers a day that are riding on your work.
Yes, and we take it serious. There's this imagery of the T that has a tendency to think that we're not, like, on the ball, we're not producing, we're taking the public's money. This building is working. It's bustling the entire time.
Yeah. And do you ever wish that more people would think about all the stuff that's underneath their feet as they're on the train?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because it's us. It's the entire crew. The entire wheels selection, you know, when the wheel came off, the loud noise.
Yeah.
Those two individuals are responsible for every single wheel that goes on and off, every single train in the entire system. Two guys. And it's like, it doesn't get more personal than that.
No, you can't. So I imagine that Ed Belanger and his crew are taking the current crisis at the T very personally. And I imagine that they're busier than ever doing what they can, literally and physically, to hold together an aging, underfunded train fleet. But that's the irony of maintenance work, isn't it? On most days, when the T runs, the work that comes out of this machine shop is invisible. Right now, it's very visible. And whether or not the MBTA is suffering systemic financial and managerial failures, the work at the T's repair facility in Everett goes on. And a quick note of thanks. We were able to learn about the facility, see it firsthand last year, and speak with Ed due to two freelance photographers, Joseph Votano and Karen Hosking, who published a coffee table book last year called Boston Below. It features pictures of commuters and some incredible photos of the Everett facility we visited. You can see some of those pictures and find out more information about the book at our website, radioboston.org.